Is that's a good song this morning. Open your Bible to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to read verses 8, 9, and 10 today as our text. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. I'll give you just a moment to find that passage, and in just a moment we'll stand together, read these three verses, and then we'll pray, ask God's blessing on the song and the message, and then get right into them. All right, let's stand together, please, in honor of God's Word. Ephesians 2, verse number 8, 9, and 10. I'll read the even verses 8 and 10. Please join me on verse number 9. Familiar passage to us. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Let's pray together. Now, dear Father, we commit this next several minutes to your keeping and to your care. We ask and pray that everything will be done and said will be for your honor and glory, first of all, Lord, and for the help of those who listen today. And I include myself in that number. My heart is listening even now to the message of the song. May it be an encouragement, Lord. May it prepare me and may it prepare everybody for the message from your word. May the Holy Spirit have leadership in this service. And I'll thank you for it. And we'll, Lord, look forward to what you're going to do to in our hearts this morning. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Thank you. Be seated, please.
Yeah.
Thank you. I enjoyed that this morning. I want to speak to you for a little bit. I want you to look here at verse number 9. We read just a minute ago, actually verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And then he says, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then he talks about works. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You don't want to get the works in verse number 9 confused with the works in verse number 10. And a lot of people in this world do that. A lot of people in this world do that. So I want to talk to you on that a little bit about this morning. Let's pray together. Dear Father, I ask now, please, for your Spirit's leading, guiding in this message. Lord, speak to our hearts. I pray, Lord, for each heart here this morning, that it might be receptive to your word, that the good seed of God's word would be planted deep and it would bring forth fruit today or in the future as you give the increase. And God, we'll be careful to thank you for it. Bless me. Help me. Thank you for the folks that are here this morning. Bless these few moments in Jesus' name and amen. Verses 8 and 9 of the book of Ephesians are some of our favorite verses as Baptist people. They make it very clear that no one is capable of working their way to heaven. Now, you could take all the people in the world, all the religions in the world, and you could boil them down into two basic categories. Number one, the category that believes you must do something. Work. Do some kind of good effort, some kind of charitable event. Give some money. Use your life, do something in order to go to heaven. The other group is the group that believes that it's already done for us in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. D.L. Moody was talking to a man one time who believed that he could work his way to heaven. And then they were talking about the differences. And D.L. Moody said, well, I can tell you the differences in our beliefs. The differences in our beliefs can be narrowed down to the usage of two letters. Two letters. The man said, what do you mean? D.L. Moody said, you spell your faith D-O. I got to do this, I got to do that, I've got to do this and do that, and do this and do that. One of these days I'll get myself to heaven. D.L. Moody said, our faith is spelled D-O-N-E. It's done and settled in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what this passage is all about this morning. Salvation is not in the accumulation of good works. You know, you ever witness to people? I do. And you need to talk to them at the door, and they are really under the belief. And I don't make fun of them, because it may be what was passed down to them. I say again what I said before. If you've got a Christian heritage that's founded in this Bible, that's been handed down to you from generation to generation to generation, you got something, folks, that's worth, oh man, that's a blessing. Some people are handed down this heritage. That you work and work and work and work and work and work, and you do all the good things you can, and then when you get to the end of life, you stand before God, God is going to have this great big scale. And on one side of this scale is going to put all our bad works. And on the other side of the scale, he's going to put all the good works. And at the very end here, right before God issues his decree of judgment, they're going to weigh it out. Boy, hopefully, I've got enough on that good side to outweigh that bad side. They believe that. It's a matter of what I can do. Now, friend, if you believe you're supposed to work your way to heaven, and if that is your belief this morning, I want you to think about something, if you will, for just a few minutes. Let's say you live to be 70 years of age. 70. If you live 70 years times 365 days, that's 25,550 days that you'll live. By the way, if you hear a little noise coming from back over there, don't worry about it. There's nobody getting beat in there. Amen. Nobody's having a heart attack or anything. We have services. We had more folks in this auditorium last Sunday night. We had 60 more people in this auditorium last Sunday night than we had Sunday morning last week. We had almost 300 in this auditorium Sunday night, only 100, 235 or something Sunday morning. there's all kind of stuff going on right now throughout the building and other places, and services and Spanish services and teen services and primary church and nurseries and Sunday school classes to help meet the need of folks that are here this morning. That's what you may hear, a little noise of somebody singing or getting excited. It's okay, all right? Don't let it bother you. 25,550 days. Now, let's think about this for a minute. How many times a day do you sin? How many times a day do you sin? Well, it hurts to be honest, doesn't it? Amen? But for sake of illustration, let's just say five. That's probably a minimal number for us in this room. It just comes. It happens. All kind of things come up so unexpectedly during the week that try your patience and your try your temper. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. And just things happen, you know. We had it all worked out to meet my father-in-law and mother-in-law and Luke and my wife and I and all of us in Dwight Thursday to go to John and Luke and I go to Belleville. And we had an Arby's sandwich real quick. And I said to Luke, go out and get Grandpa's stuff, your stuff, put it in the truck. So they're out there. Grandpa and Luke go out there and they come back in all done. So we, say our goodbyes and kiss my wife and shake hands with my mother-in-law. Amen. And we agree. And so we're off and running. We're getting on the interstate. And from the back seat, I hear this, oh, no. And I said, what's up? My bags are in Mom's car. I said, your bags? He said, yeah, all his stuff for 2 days. His Bible, his dress shoes, his underwear, his clothes, everything for 2 days is in the car. No problem. I buy Mom minutes on her cell phone. We'll call the cell phone. She'll run it over. No problem. They can't be far away. We'll get off at the next exit here, Dwight, down by the Shell station. So ring, ring, dun, 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 dun. The cellular customer you're attempting to reach is not receiving phone calls at this time. What do you have a cell phone for? You don't have it on. Oh, my goodness. How my patience was, how do you go to the car to put bags in there and forget? From the restaurant to the car. We had a good time. Hey, he did all right. He got a new pair of shoes, new underwear, all kinds of things out of that. Amen. And you guys want some new clothes, just leave them behind somewhere, you know. We saw Ben and Ashley down there. Ben actually went out and did the shopping. They were at the conference, actually went out and did the shopping for us. And I called Ben. I said, man, can you help your brother out? And Ben went, it's nice to have Ashley here. Ashley came off the road because the baby's due in about a month. Amen. So she's here. How many times a day do you sin? I burned up five in about 120 seconds. Amen. So can I suggest to us that five is a pretty minimal number? But you multiply out five sins a day times 25,550 days, that's 127,750 bad works. Now, if you're going to work your way to heaven, you got to at least do 127,751 good works. Are you keeping track? I'd hate to live under that kind of pressure. Boy, have I got enough on that positive side? Have I got enough on that balance, on that good side? Have I got to think about it? And I remind you, five is probably a minimal number. To counterbalance that, friend, you've got to do good, do good, do good, do good, do good. And of course, the sad thing about it is, you spend a lifetime keeping track of everything that's bad, and then keeping a track of everything that's good, and come up to the very last, and you've got just a little bit more good than you had over here bad, and you're so proud, and you bring it to God and show it to Him. And you know what God says? Why are you bringing me all that filthiness? What? Oh, wait a minute, dear Lord. This is not filthiness. This is the good things in life that I did to overshadow the bad things. Now, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Boy, I know that piles up over here. But I made sure that when it was all said and done, I had all these good things plus some to balance out those bad things. And God looks at me and says, no, none of that is good. Isaiah, the Bible says that all of our righteousnesses, all of our good deeds, when we try to do them to get to heaven, are as filthy rags in the sight of God. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. No way, friend, you want to live under that kind of pressure. You see, God took all the pressure off man when He established salvation by grace through faith. Not of work. Now, He talks about the good works, and tonight in the evening message, that's what I'm going to deal with. I'm going to be in verse number 10 tonight and all through the New Testament, because over and over and over again in the New Testament, over and over again, God talks about good works, good works, good works, good works, good works. And I'm looking forward to this message tonight, and I want you folks to be here, because I'll tell you what, I think our idea of good works is sometimes skewed. The Bible outlines for us what good works are in the New Testament. God's people ought to be busy with good works, not to get to heaven, not to have eternal life, but because we've received eternal life as a gift. That's why. And that's the works He's talking about in verse number 10. But He establishes very clearly in verse number 9 that salvation is not of works. Look at the early part of the chapter. Look at verse number 1. Look at why it's not of works. The Bible says, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Do you see that word quickened? That word quickened does not mean quick in the sense that you and I would use quick. You know, the football players go down to the combine and they do those drills in front of the scouts and those that are going to be doing the draft. And they'll say, man, he's quick, he's fast. And a football coach wants to build his team around quickness, or a basketball coach wants to build his team around quickness as opposed to strength. And we think of quickness, we think, but the word quick here does not have anything at all to do with strength. The word quickened here has everything to do with being made alive. If you cut your fingernail too close, you feel the scissors, you feel the cut, you've cut down into the living part of your fingernail. That old white part on the outside can be cut off and you never feel it, but if you cut it too close, you get down to the quick, the living part, and you feel that. That's what the word quick is talking about here. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is quick. Doesn't mean it's fast. It means it's alive. This is not a magical book. This is not a superstitious book. This is a living book. It has life. It changes people. It changes societies. It changes nations. The Bible is alive. Now, Paul said to the Ephesian people here, "And you hath He quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." Let me tell you why it is a futile thing to try to work your way to heaven. Because, friend, according to what God says, when you're born into this world, you are born spiritually dead. You are dead to the things of God. You're not alive to them. You're dead. You see, Adam was formed in the image of God. God is a triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. These three are one. And when God created Adam and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, Adam became a living soul, body, soul, and spirit. Three parts. But when they ate of the forbidden fruit, disobeyed God, He told them, "In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." You say, "I don't understand that." Adam and Eve lived after they took the forbidden fruit. They put aprons around their bodies to cover themselves, and they were alive. I don't understand. He said, "The day you eat thereof, you shall surely die." God was referring to spiritual death. When they ate of that forbidden fruit, they died to God. Spiritually, they were dead. And because they were the parents of all people, that sin nature has been passed down from generation to generation. You know, everybody in this room is a descendant of either Shem, Ham, or Japheth. The three boys that got off the boat with Noah. Everybody in this room is a descendant of one of those three. They got their sinful nature from their dad, Noah. He got it from his dad, who got it from his dad, who got it from his dad, who got it all the way back from Adam in the Garden of Eden when he ate the forbidden fruit. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Adam and Eve died spiritually to God. At that moment when people are born into this world, they are born with a dead spirit. You're dead to God when you're born into this world. You're dead to the Bible. Dead to the things of God. Dead. There's no response. There's no communication. There's no relationship. There's death. I've heard people say, told me over the years, well, Pastor, I'm going to heaven. I believe in God. Well, friend, look, so does Satan. In fact, do you realize the first time he entered into a conversation with man, with Eve in the Garden of Eden, he used God's name? He said, God doth know in the day ye eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. Satan knew there was a God. He sinned against him. Cast out of heaven in pride and rebellion. No. It's more than, look here. You're born into this life with a dead spirit, dead to the things of God, dead in trespasses and sins. That's what the Bible calls. Now look here. You take a dead person spiritually, who's trying all these good works. Maybe it's charitable contributions. Maybe it's giving money to feed the poor. Maybe it's taking the neighbor a meal. I'm not against being kind. But when you do those things in order to go to heaven, you're getting things completely out of whack here. You know what the Bible calls those things? The Bible calls those things dead works. Dead works. Martin Luther saw this back in the Reformation days. Crawling up that cathedral, the steps of that cathedral on his knees, doing penance works for salvation. Been reading the Word of God where it says, the just shall live by faith, the just shall live by faith, the just shall live by faith. And finally, Martin Luther stood up off of those steps and he said those words, the just shall live by faith. And he renounced his Catholicism and placed his trust and faith in Jesus Christ and Jesus alone to save him from sin. Better known to this people in this area, maybe, is the name Charles Chiniquy. Charles Chiniquy migrated from Quebec, Canada, the French-speaking Quebec people up there, Canadians. I was there a year ago. Got to preach for Brother Chris Hilmer. Looked in a phone book, couldn't believe all the names in Quebec, Canada in the phone book. Blanchette, LaMontagne, LeBeau, Tuzinon. On and on. I recognize those names, folks. They're in this area. Because those folks under the direction and leadership of Charles Chiniquy, who was a Catholic priest for 50 years, migrated from Quebec down to this area and settled out here in St. Anne. You go down Highway 1 to St. Anne, you'll still see Chiniquy Boulevard. Right there. Established the first Catholic church in the Midwest. Built it to a congregation of 1,000 people. One morning, stood up in front of his congregation. Somebody had given him a New Testament, and he was reading it, reading it, reading, reading, and reading, reading the New Testament. And he stood up in front of his congregation on a Sunday morning and said, I resign the priesthood. He'd been there like 30 years. And those people said, what are you talking about? What do you mean? What are you doing? You've been our priest for all these years. He said, last night I was reading my New Testament. And I saw that in there, salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. He said it is not in absolution. It is not in penance. It is not in communion. It is not in the baptism. It is a gift. Last night, I received the gift and I love the giver. He said, I spent most of the night last night walking in my room saying, I received the gift. And I love the giver. I received the gift. And I love the giver. This is a man who'd given his life to working for God for salvation for 50 years. What was all that? Dead works. Dead works.
dead works by a dead man. Not dead physically, dead spiritually. That's how we come into this world as a dead, spiritually dead human being. And you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Drop down to verse number 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us. There's that word again. Together with Christ. For by grace ye are saved. And then he goes on and he comes to that verse number 8. For by grace ye are saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Here's what happens, friend. You're born into this world with a dead spirit, dead to the things of God. If you work to go to heaven, those are dead works. God never recognizes those for salvation. Never. I'll
tell you what happens. Here's what happened to these Ephesian people. Because he says at the beginning of verse number 1 there, and you, he's talking to those people. See, you know what happened to those Ephesian people? They were caught up in their dead works. Working, 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 working. Working, 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 working. Dead works. Until one day somebody brought them the message of Jesus Christ. They heard how that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. When He died, when He was buried, when He rose again, it wasn't for Himself. It was for all of mankind. He became the propitiation, the payment for our sins. Not for our sins only, but the sins of the whole world. Watch it. They put Him in the grave. 3 days and 3 nights later, He walked out of that grave alive. When they laid His body in that grave, it was dead. They stabbed it with a spear. The blood and water came out. That body was dead. 3 nights and 3 days later, Jesus Christ walked out of that tomb alive, victorious, the Son of God. They heard that story. And as they begin to hear that story and Paul talking to them about the fact that salvation is not in works, going to heaven is not an accumulation of good works in a great big scale against bad works. Going to heaven is putting your faith, your trust in what Jesus Christ did. He died, He was buried, He rose again so you could go to heaven. It's a gift. You need to receive it. It's free. He did it all. It's paid for. Jesus paid it all. Watch this. When they heard that, the Spirit of God begins to work on their heart. And work on their heart. And work on their heart. And work on their heart and show them, convinces them, watch it, that all of those works are for naught. They're empty. Vain. They will not take me to heaven. The Spirit of God convinces the person of that. This is what He did for these people here. And then the Spirit of God points them to Jesus Christ, who died, was buried, and rose again. And in faith, in repentance and faith, they turn from the dead works to receive the living Son of God by faith. And that's salvation. And I want you to see what verse number 1 says. And you hath He quickened. He. That's a person. A baptistry is not a person. A little wafer, piece of bread, and a glass of juice is not a person. And a code of behavior is not a person. The person who saved these Ephesian people was God, the Spirit of God, who did a work in their heart and showed them their sin and the error of their ways and pointed them to Jesus. And by faith, they received the message of Christ. And their spirit that was dead, the Bible says, was made alive. Huh? Not a magical thing. That dead spirit came alive. I love John chapter 5, verse number 24. Turn over there in the Gospel of John. Look at verse number 5, chapter 5 and verse number 24. Look at these words here that Jesus said from His own lips. John 5 and verse number 24. He said this, verily, verily, I say unto you, He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That's what happens when somebody gets saved. They are passed from death unto life. They have physical life, but no spiritual life before they're saved. When they get saved, trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, receive Him by faith. God brings life to their dead spirit. They're passed from death unto life. And guess what? When you come from death to life, now you're alive to God. You're alive to the things of God. You're alive to His book. You're alive to His music. You're alive to His people. You're alive to the church. You're alive to all these things in the past you were dead to. That's what happens when you get saved. It's a miracle. Pass from death unto life. You say, these folks that died recently, Greg Bredick and Terry Davis and Albert Urban, these other folks that died, Otto Pobetz, they didn't pass from death unto life. They passed from life to life. They didn't die. Oh, you do believe that? John chapter 10, just a few pages away. Turn over there in John chapter 10 and look what Jesus said in this good chapter, chapter 11, I'm sorry. John chapter 11, verse number 25. Jesus said unto her, Martha, about her brother Lazarus, who had just died, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die, never die. They didn't pass from death unto life. They passed from life unto life. They departed residence. They lived on this old earth. And at 46 years of age, Greg Bredick left the earth and departed to heaven. More alive than he was when he was on the earth. And at 50 years of age, Terry Davis did the same thing. Are you listening this morning? They went from life into life. Well, how do you pass from death into life? John 5:24. You pass from death unto life when you get saved. That dead spirit is brought to life. What if you never get saved? You know what happens then? You pass from life unto death. From physical life into physical death and spiritual death, eternal separation from God forever and ever and ever in the place that the Bible calls hell or the lake of fire. That's what happens. They took that body of Jesus Christ off the cross. Joseph of Arimathea came to Pilate with Nicodemus and said, look, I've got a new tomb over here. I've never used it. I'd like to have the body of Christ and place Him in that tomb. So they took the body of Christ off that cross and they took that body to that empty tomb, that borrowed tomb, just in fulfillment of Isaiah 53. Put Him in there. Put that body in there. Can you see that body laying there, lifeless? And on that third morning, the Bible says the Spirit of life, the power of God entered into that body. The hands, the feet began to stir. The eyes opened. The ears were opened. That body. Jesus Christ sat up. Took those clothes, that napkin that was over his face and that grave cloth that was over him, and folded it all up. He stood up and laid it there and then decided to just walk out of that tomb. And the power of that resurrection rolled that stone away and Jesus came right out of that grave. That's exactly what happens to your spirit when you get saved. You got a dead spirit, lifeless. Trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and that spirit begins to stir. The Lord Jesus, the Spirit of God, does the work of salvation in your heart and your spirit, and your spirit comes alive. You've passed from death unto life.
That's salvation. Has nothing to do with a scale. A balance. Nothing. It has everything to do with Jesus dying, being buried, and rising up from that grave. By simple faith in that. Receiving. Your spirit can pass from death unto life. I wonder this morning if you've been under the misconception that you've got to work your way to heaven. And I'm not talking just to visitors this morning. I'm talking to God's people, to members of our church possibly. You're all putting all the eggs in your basket in what you do. Well, look what I do. 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 It has nothing to do with your works. It has everything to do with the moment that you placed your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. At that moment, passed from death into life. Some of you folks that were saved later on in life, like myself, you know what happens, man. You know things that you were close to and even opposed to before salvation, all of a sudden, you're open. It's more than being open, you're alive. Spiritually. Because you've been saved. By grace, through faith. Not of works. If you don't have that testimony, friend, I beg you, don't gamble, roll the dice with your eternal destiny and just hope that someday the scales all even up. There is no such thing. It's salvation by grace through faith in Jesus, or it's not at all. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening this morning. Let me ask a few questions as we close the message down today. Who would say this morning, Brother Angel, Pastor, I know that I'm saved. I've passed from death into life. I go back to a time when I trusted in Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I know that. Now, please, I'm going to ask you to do one thing. Please, don't lie. Please don't lie to yourself. Don't lie to God. I know that I'm saved. I know that I've passed from death into life. I can raise my hand this morning and give a good, clear testimony of that. Would you raise your hand, please? All over the room, I'm saved. I know, don't raise your hand just because everybody else did. Thank you. Take your hand down. Who's here this morning would say, Brother Angel, to be honest with you, I could not or should not have raised my hand just then. I do not know that I've passed from death into life. I do not know if I died right now that I'd go to heaven. And that concerns me. Would you please pray for me? God bless you. Is there another? I don't know. God bless you. Is there another? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Would you raise your hand? Just let me pray for you this morning. God bless you. Is there another? You may take your hand down as soon as you raise it. I saw it. God bless you. Is there another? I am not sure that I'm saved. I appreciate your honesty this morning before God. I appreciate that. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. No one's looking. Anybody else? Brother Angel, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pastor, pray for me. Anybody else? If no one looking, I'm going to ask the three or four folks who raised a hand this morning to look at me. Just God bless you, and God bless you, and in the back. The most important thing you'll ever know in life is that you're going to heaven when you die. I appreciate your honesty. I sat 31 years ago like you folks did in the church. I didn't know, and I raised my hand. I have men and ladies that can show you how you can know. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed right now. You raised your hand. Did you mean that? Did you mean you want me to pray for you? Did you mean that, sir? God bless you. Look at me just for a minute. Now, with nobody looking, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, why don't you come right now? Let somebody take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Come right now. From the back, would you come and let somebody take a Bible and show you how to be saved this morning? Would you do that? Would you come? Would you come, sir? That's right. God bless you. I appreciate that. One of the ladies right here, Beth, will meet you right here. Brother Ray, come quickly here. That's wonderful. Somebody else, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pastor, pray for me. I'm going to pray for these.
have men, we have ladies that can take a Bible and show you. It's not a matter of a scale, friend, or works, or good, or this or that. It's a matter of a time and a place when you put your faith and trust in Christ to save you. Somebody else, pray for me. My dear Father, I thank You for these folks that have come this morning. Thank You, dear Lord, for the privilege to show them from the Bible how to be saved. I pray that You'll speak to their hearts now. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let me ask the question today, who's been saved but never baptized since you've been saved? Pastor, I've never followed the Lord in believer's baptism. Pray for me. Anybody like that? Would you raise your hand this morning? Saved but not baptized. Anybody like that here today? Saved but not baptized. All right? If you're here this morning, you've been saved and baptized, and you know you've been visiting here, you know this is the place you'd like to join, have your membership, and become a member, come see Brother Caleb or myself during the invitation. We'll talk to you about that. We'd love to have you become a member of this church. My dear Father, I thank You so much for the preaching of Your Word. Thank You, Lord, for the leadership of Your Spirit. And I pray, dear God, that You'll just help us that are saved to appreciate so much the fact that our eyes have been opened to the truth that salvation is not of works. And I pray that that matter will be settled once and for all in the hearts of people today. Now, thank You for it. Bless this invitation. If somebody's here that needs to be baptized or join the church, I pray that they'll come. If somebody else is here that needs to be saved, I pray that they'll come and trust You this morning. That's my prayer in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let's stand together, please, with no one looking while we continue to talk to these that are coming. Ladies, please, the same invitation. Would you come today? If you're not sure that you're saved, would you come?
More verses. You need to come. You will not hurt.